And welcome to Make Audio. I'm Full Tyrone, associate editor of Make Magazine, and for the next half an hour or so, we'll be talking about technology, science, news, hacking, modding, and do-it-yourself projects. Lots of stuff to go over on the show today, so let's get started. Today is Mac OS X Tiger Day, and certain parts of the world right now already have it, and the part of the world I'm in right now, wherever that may be, I have it. So I want to give you a quick overview of Mac OS X Tiger and what are the things that I think happen to be interesting. You don't have to like Macs or PCs to like some of these new features, but it is a good release, I think. I have some Macs around here, and let me tell you what I like about it. The first thing is Spotlight. It's a new type of search. At all times, there's a little magnifying glass at the upper right-hand side, and basically, all the time, anytime you want to find something, you just click that, and as you start to type, I'm going to type stuff right now, like HTML, or hundreds of documents come up, and you can instantly see them. Really good feature, really like the way it works out, and you can search by kind, date, people, a flat list. From what I understand, and I haven't tried this out yet, you can even search through text layers inside of Photoshop. So that's kind of interesting. I'm going to play around with this a lot, but it seems like they did all the things that we really need search to do on a desktop system. Next up is the dashboard, and I really like dashboards. So basically, you have these little tiny widgets that when you press a key or do something special on your keyboard, these little widgets zoom in. So I've already downloaded a bunch. There's one called RSS Bean. There's a UPS and FedEx tracker that I really like. There's a wiki widget that lets you search Wikipedia. There's an SMS sender. There's just a ton of things that are really neat. And I think that these little things, they're just HTML, so you'll be able to make these on your own. And one of the first things I'm going to try is make one with a Macromedia Flash movie inside of it, so I can get like vectors inside of vectors and see how that works out. But dashboard is really neat. I think we're going to see a lot of really cool widgets with dashboard. Next up is Safari RSS, and man, this definitely changed the way that I use the web. Since I've used Safari RSS, I gotta say, it is a great way to get the RSS feeds into your browser. And I suspect that most browsers will ultimately do the same thing, but basically anytime you go to a page, you know those little XML icons that you see, the little orange buttons that say XML or RSS, well, those are actually feeds that you can use to access the website. And so Safari actually looks for those, and if it finds one, you can add it to a reader, and then you can actually look at all of the sites that you want to get to through the Safari RSS reader. And you can use this little slider and change the article length. You can sort by date, title, source. If it's new, you can go by recent articles. You can hit some of the articles from different sites if you want, and you can also mail the link to someone right from that page, and it opens up your mail app and sends it off. And so that's another really neat feature that I really like. In fact, you know, if you're like me, you probably spend most of your life in a browser by now, so it's definitely one that I think it was a long time coming, and you know, Apple tends to make something, and then we'll quickly see, I think, Firefox. And Firefox actually already does it, and there's other browsers that do it, but I think we're going to see kind of a unified approach to getting our RSS feeds into a browser-like experience and kind of automatically adding them. So I think this is a good first step. iChat AV, this is the interesting one that I haven't had a chance to play with a lot because I need to find more people who have the same new version. And basically, it allows you to do video conferencing, so you can have up to three people or four people, I think, that you can have on a video chat, and it looks pretty interesting. I mean, if it really works out, I think you need to have a G5 to be on the starter side of the video chat, but you can have up to 10 people with voice. And so I use Skype a lot, and I'll be talking about my Skype project soon that I just managed to complete, if you're following along, in the Skype payphone project. But I might have to switch to iChat AV for a little while. We'll see how it goes. Next up is the Automator. I really like the Automator because it adds all these neat little kind of drag and drop pieces of tasks. So you can use, you know, a robot looking thing that actually does things like take all of your email that you haven't read and add it to your iPod, or you can take a bunch of emails and sort them all and put them in the one folder. Like, let's say if you wanted to have all your email from, you know, 1996 and 1997, 1998, or whatever types of emails you happen to have. You can also, say, batch edit a bunch of photographs. You can resize them, upload them. And I really think these are going to be awesome productivity tools, and I think we're going to see all sorts of little life hacks and all sorts of things that people do with this. And so that's really all I have to say about Mac OS X right now. Those are the things that I kind of care about the most. I know there's lots of things, and there's tons of things that everyone are going to talk about, but those are the things I really like, and those are the things that I think I'm going to play around with the most. The widgets I just like because I can build stuff on my own, and you know, that's kind of our whole theme here at Make. And Spotlight, it's working out pretty well. I'm able to find all the things on my hard drive that I've tried to find so far. And then the Safari RSS reader, I like it because it's letting me access my feeds the way that I want to and put it together in the way that I see fit. And so I really like this kind of unified approach with the browser. So there it is. That's my quick review. Go to Apple Store if you don't have a Mac and check it out, and you know, see what you think, kick the tires on. If you have a Mac, I'm sure you can either be daring and upgrade right away, or you can wait a week like a lot of us do. But I have it on a couple test machines, and so far no issues. So good luck on that. In the news, unfortunately, there's a possible weather data cartel forming. That's right. The National Weather Service, the things that we get for free, all of the data that has been circulating all this time that you can do all sorts of things with, that's been published in a user-friendly way so we can access it. There's a bill that's trying to get passed from Senator Santorum, who believes that companies, not people, should be able to make money off of these weather services, the weather feeds. Now, unfortunately, the way that these things are built, have been built, and are paid for is from tax dollars. And so this weather information, let me paint a picture of the possible future. If this passes, then our tax dollars would have funded the National Weather Service data collection and storage and distribution, and only companies like AccuWeather, which charges money and makes money off these things, would be able to provide this type of weather service and access it. Well, and because they don't want to have to compete with the free, quote, free ones. And so that's not good. And so there's a link in the show notes that for something that you can do, and that's contact your senator, your state representative, in particular this senator if you're a constituent in the particular state, and check the show notes for the information on that. But I'm trying to imagine a world that has weather that is owned by private companies, because you know how it works out when you have a private company owning a public service. And of course, there will be no problems at all. So in my future, I imagine the Enron Weather Service. That's right. Enron will be getting back into the game. I think the Weather Service corporation might happen. I think this is a good way for them to get back. And I've heard their new business model would be they're going to tell everybody that it's the worst winter ever, and then they're going to short sell the salt and the plow manufacturers, and it'll turn out that it's actually going to be 100 degrees in December. You've heard of price fixing, well, weather fixing. And so I think that's a possible thing that can happen with making the weather data only for private corporations. Fox News, Fox News weather is going to come along, and it's always going to be sunny and 70 degrees all the time, every single day, no matter what. That's the weather from Fox News Weather Channel. So, you know, I'm of course making fun of these things, but that's, I think, one of the interesting things about the data that's out there now. It'd be nice to keep it out there. It'd be nice for all of us to access it. I was just looking at Mac OS X for the weather information, and it's not clear to me how it works out. On Mac OS X, when you look at the little weather widget is provided by, I think it's provided by actually AccuWeather.com, and so only they would be able to allow it. But what if I wanted to make my own AccuWeather type widget for Mac OS X? What if I wanted to display it in a different way? Should only AccuWeather.com be able to do this? I mean, who gets to do these things? And so, you know, I really think that if you have just 5 minutes, go and check out the EFF information and the petition, and hopefully we can do something about this, because we paid for it. It's ours. You shouldn't be able to turn it off and hopefully, you know, keep it bottled away so you can't compete it. I don't like paying for things twice. Now, speaking of paying for things twice, and this is another one of the things that I can't believe. Anyone out there pays for ringtones, please, 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 no matter what you do, never pay for a ringtone. If you're like me and you're up late at night, you see these Jamster commercials. And these Jamster commercials, they get you to sign up. In fact, I it's late night right now, and I'll just play you just a little bit of the Jamster commercials, just to give you an idea of what they're saying on television that you should do with your ringtones and how you should do it.
Alienware Area 51M systems use Intel Pentium 4 processors.
Well, obviously that's not Jamster. Here it comes.
Get these fun sounds for your cell phone as part of the Jamster Fun Plan. Just text message TV25 for...
What up, Toe?
Text TV24 to get...
Nobody move! Nobody get hurt! I gotta answer my phone. Step back!
Just text TV23 for...
Hey, girl, you better check your text.
Or text TV22 for...
Bling, 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 bling.
And for...
Ooh, Lord, yo.
Text TV21 to 755.
All right, so you get the point. So basically, they make you text a number, and you get this ringtone. Now, here's the interesting thing. Jamster is being investigated because apparently they've been overcharging people. They've been charging people multiple times. So we'll see what happens with their court case and what type of actions are brought up against them. But if you've bought a CD, why should you ever pay for a sound again? You bought the CD. It's fair use. Just make a little snippet of your sound and make a little file and Bluetooth it over or send it to yourself, and then you've got yourself a ringtone. But that's kind of hard. I do think that, you know, when I talk to a lot of people, they always say, well, how do I do that? Or what can I do? Or I don't have music editing tools. What can I do about that? And so what I want to do is actually walk you through creating one through a free service. Now, this link and this method that I'm going to describe isn't anything new. It's been around on the web for a while, but I'm just going to make one just to show you how easy it is. So the first thing you need is just find yourself an MP3. Any MP3 that you have. I have one that I own. It's from Kraftwerk called Pocket Calculator. So I'm just going to play you the first 10 seconds or so. And actually, that's what I'm going to use for my ringtone. And when you get your MP3, try to keep track of what part of the MP3 that you actually want to have as your ringtone. So I'm going to play you the one that I'm going to use in the snippet that I want to eventually use in right now.
I'm the operator with my pocket calculator.
My MP3, that's my my snippet. I want to play from 1 second to 10 seconds. Now you're going to go to Smash the Tones and just enter it in your favorite search engine, Smash the Tones, all one word, or you can go to stt3.smashsworld.com. That's smashsworld.com. The link is in the show notes. Basically, you go and you enter your phone number. That's the first thing you do. So, and by the way, I've done this before, and they say that they won't ever spam you and they won't ever send you unsolicited messages, and I can say so far that's true. They say it directly. We will not spam you. We will not sell your mobile number. We will not sell in your information. So the next thing you do, you need to choose where you're at. So it's North America, and I'm going to put my carrier, and then who made your cell phone. Now, it doesn't actually matter. You can just put mine's not listed. The most important thing is if you just know what type of sounds your particular cell phone can play. And if you're listening to this, you probably have a phone that can play MP3s and or maybe WAV files or whatever, but do check. And if you really get into a jam and you don't know, feel free to drop us a line at make or post in the comments, because some of the time it's a little confusing, and we're trying to put together a list of phones and types of sounds that they can take. But anyways, so I put mine's not listed in there because I always have a weird phone. And basically, you just continue on. After that, you can say, my phone's brand new and it can play MP3s. My phone's not new, but I want to try the service anyways. And so I'm going to click my phone's brand new. I'm going to choose full audio ringtone, so that means MP3, WAV, QCP. You can also choose MIDI, and you can also choose graphics. So the Jamster folks also sell graphics. So if you have, you know, your own little photos or your own little things that you used, don't pay money for these things. It's not worth it. It's not worth it, and you don't know if you're going to get charged a bunch of times, and apparently a lot of people were, so I beg you. try out the service first. So anyways, I'm going to choose full audio ringtones, and then from here you choose the way that you're going to handle this, and I chose free. You can donate if you want, since this is a free service, but the whole point of this is free. And then after that, you select an MP3 from your computer, so I'm going to select that MP3 that I have on my hard drive from the CD that I bought. After that, you choose continue to upload the file, and just make sure you don't click a bunch of times. Just go ahead and upload the file, and wait till it advances you to the next screen. Now from here is where you enter the ringtone start time, and for me, it's going to start at 1 second, and then it's going to last for 10 seconds. Now they give you all options, make sure you read this carefully, but you can simply just let it do the beginning, you can choose a different snippet from the middle, you can choose something from the end, and so this is where you enter in that information. So go ahead and enter that. Then you enter in the artist title, you enter in the name, and then you confirm your cell phone number, and that's pretty much it. That's when you hit continue. Now, once you do that, what it's going to do is it's actually going to take the file, and it will send this via SMS. And the way it works is, at least on my phone, and probably the way it'll work on your phone, is it takes a little tiny file, this new MP3 file that it's sliced up. It doesn't store it on their servers or anything, and you get a little SMS, and this SMS actually has a temporary link that downloads the file. And once it downloads the file, you'll be able to install this as a... Oh, there it is on my phone right now. And so I'm going to go ahead and check out my text message. And my text message says... Here it is. And it gives me a URL. Now, once I download it, and I'm downloading it now, and it'll only take a few seconds, I'm going to go to my settings where I select my sounds. And so I'm going to hit sounds, and under sounds, I can choose the ringtone, and let's see. And that's my new ringtone, and that's as easy as it is. So go ahead and get your CD collection out, make some MP3s, put them on your hard drive, and then go to the site and make your own ringtones. And let me know what you think. If there's other ways that you've figured out to do this, it's fine. You can, if you're a more advanced user, you can do this yourself on your computer. If you have Bluetooth, you can Bluetooth them over. And tell everybody about this. Don't pay for ringtones. And I've got two more things about phones, which I'm kind of excited about. The first thing is, on the bottom of makezine.com, check out a new little link. It's a mobile version of MakeZine. And I use this with a new, I guess it's new to me, but I guess the service has been around. It's called Wink. And you can actually make your own little version of your website. And so what I did is I just put in username and password that I set up on the Wink site. And I just put in the RSS feed, and it was that easy. It was pretty simple, took about 10 minutes, and that was about it. It wasn't like reworking our server or doing anything that we need to do on our side. And it's winksite.com, and you can go there and sign up for our account and put in your RSS feed if you have your own blog. And we have a direct link from that little button on the makezine.com site that gets you to a little portable version of the MakeZine blog that you can see all these posts and all sorts of things as it happens. Now, speaking of phones, I think on the last show I was talking about the Skype payphone. And this is a project that I've been working on. It's taking a regular payphone that used to be out taking quarters and serving the public, and it's in my house now. And it's going to be used as a home phone, but instead of using a landline, which I don't use, I'm going to use Skype. And so I've got it working. In fact, I have the very first test. I did a video of it. The very first, what I think, the first Skype payphone call. And I didn't have a human call me. I actually had the Skype testing service call me because I couldn't find my friend Len online. And so I had to have the automated service call me. But it all works. Everything's fine. And the video is on the makezine.com site. There'll be a link to it. And you can see this whole operation and how it works. And I'll have a full article about this later. But here's the audio from the experience. I wanted you to listen to the audio from the video.
Okay, here's the first test of the Skype payphone. There's a payphone that's been modified to work as a normal landline phone, and then I have a phone line that goes all the way underneath all this stuff, behind all these computers, to a little USB dongle that's over there, and that goes into Skype. And when I go and use the Skype testing service, which I'm going to do now, I'm actually going to set it to call me. And to have it call you, you type in echo 123, and I have it set so the Instant Messenger client comes up, and I type in call me, and in about a second or so, it'll establish a little link with my computer, and it'll call me instead of me calling the testing service. So let's see how it goes. And there it is. And let's pick it up.
Welcome to Skype Testing Service.
You can hear the Skype testing service.
About 10 seconds after the beep, and the message will be played.
Kind of cool. Now, the neat thing is, when I pick up the receiver over here, you can see the Skype client comes up each time. Up, and then down. The other neat thing is, you can hear a dial tone. All right, so there we go.
All right, so it's neat to me. Maybe you might not think it's any, but it's really neat to have a payphone sitting here. I'm staring at this payphone right now, and anytime anybody calls me on Skype, it rings. And that is what I'm really excited about. I mean, it's a real payphone. You can pound buttons on it, and it pulls up the interface. I think it's just the payphone is so iconic that I really like that there's one in my house now. In fact, right now, I'm going to use the Skype service. Now, if you're ever testing out Skype and you want to do your audio and microphone, just type in echo 123, and that'll call the Skype testing service. Now, the little trick that you can do is you can have the Skype calling service call you, and you type in call me, and I said that in the video, but I figured I'd just say it again, and I'm actually going to do it one more time here, because I can't resist myself. I just can't resist this phone being here, and it having the ability to ring when someone calls me. So I've got the Skype testing service there. Oh, and there's the ringing. There she is. Oh, that's great. I just love that stuff. Anyway, so full details and all that other stuff on the Makezine site soon, so check it out. Moving right along. I've got a project with the car going on. I think I mentioned this in the last show, that I'm going to try to infect it with a Bluetooth virus. But until then, until the Bluetooth virus thing is done, and there's some things I need to do with that, and I'll talk about that a little bit at the end of the show when I answer a reader email. I wanted to try out the voice recognition, and I've also been reading about the Turing test, and I also saw Blade Runner the other night, and so I figured, hey, now would be a great time to just test out and see how far a car AI is. So this is very silly, and I went out and I interviewed my car, and if you don't like silly stuff, go ahead and skip it, but I thought it was funny. So here it is, the first ever hybrid car interview. Okay, well, I'm going to try something new. I'm going to pick up my computer here, and I'm going to walk outside with all my gear on, and I'm going to go into the car and give it a test. There's voice recognition on the car, and you can ask it all sorts of things. Ask it to do things for you. So let's go outside. And, okay, the garage is open, and I'm going out the gate here. And it's late at night, so I'm going to try to be quiet. I need to turn off the alarm on the car and unlock it. Alright, got that going on. And now I have to get into the car. Aha! This is how you do it. You can tell how long I've had this car. I don't know how to get into it yet. Alright, now that I'm in, I'm going to set down the computer and turn it on. Now you won't hear an engine turn on because it's a hybrid. So right now the car is on and it's ready. Alright. And there we go. Now, I'm going to turn off the radio, and we're going to do some voice commands. This thing is supposed to be smart. It has all sorts of things that help you out when you drive. And I just saw Blade Runner the other night, so I figured, Here's a good AI test. Let's see how smart the car is. You're in a desert, and all of a sudden, you see a tortoise.
System is showing service and maintenance icons.
You look down, and you see the tortoise coming towards you, and you flip it over.
Zooming out.
Now the tortoise is laying on its back, belly baking in the sun, but you're not doing anything.
System is showing service and maintenance icons.
Are you an Android?
This command is available only after starting engine.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Volume louder.
And there you have it. The first interview with the car. It looks like we're safe. They're not going to be taking over anytime soon.
This command is available only on map screen.
So yeah, the car interview. Anyways, I'm going to be wrapping up the show in just about 5 minutes or so. I want to talk about a couple of things. First is, we have a new section on the Make Zine site called Make Extras, and you can get to that from www.makezine.com/extras, and we have two new articles that you won't find anywhere except for on the site. And these are extra articles that we have that maybe didn't make it in the magazine in time, or has something to do with the magazine, or all sorts of reasons why they're online. Sometimes some articles are better online than they would be in print or other places. So the first thing we have is kind of a follow-up to our print article, and this is adding multi-track capability to your magnetic stripe reader. If you like mag stripe readers that can read the information that's on your credit card or gift cards or whatever, we show you how to build one in the first issue of Make. But if you want to, you can actually take a Omron V3A-4, which is a single-track reader, and modify it to read all three standard mag stripe tracks for free. So we have an article about that. The other one we have is adding the combination digital video recorder, music server, game machine out of an old computer. A lot of people say, Phil, what can I do with an old computer? And here's a great example of one that you can, a project that you can do. And do check it out. It's just as good as a TiVo, I think. Maybe even better. And there's no monthly fee. So that's in the MakeZine.com extras section of the site, and also in the show notes. And now it's time for some listener call-ins. If you want to call us, you can call us at 206-888-MAKE. That's 206-888-MAKE. That's a long-distance call. Just keep that in mind. Or you can just send me a file, a WAV file or an MP3 or whatever, to pt@makezine.com. And I'll have a Skype mailbox probably set up soon, so you can use that. But anyways, the first one is from, I believe, Steve. So, Steve, what's your question?
Hi, Philip. This is Steve Holden over at TechNewsRadio.com, and I saw your blog post about looking for questions you might be able to answer in an upcoming podcast. I had a question about the recent news item that was floating around the internet that you could take a Coke can and with some chocolate get the bottom so polished that you could reflect sunlight in such a way that would start a fire. I tried this the other day with my 6-year-old son, and we didn't have any luck. So what do you think? Have you been able to make it work? If so, did you do anything special? Thanks for the time. Keep up the good work on the podcast. Make Magazine is awesome. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Okay, well, here's what you need to do. If you're having problems with making the Coke can shiny enough to get a fire started, try some scouring powder like Comet or even toothpaste and use that. Also, you can use the Brillo pad to maybe start to use as an abrasive to start to smooth it out, and you'll get a really good lens like finish. But when you're finished, though, use some type of polish. Now, I know this is kind of cheating, and the chocolate bar is the way to go, and that was the original post, and it does work. One of the things I would suggest is, you know, make sure it's definitely mirror shine like when you do it, and then get something that's a little bit easier to light up. Like, I'm trying to think of the best thing. Maybe a the tip of a match, or finding the focal point would be maybe a little bit easier with a piece of newspaper, so maybe it can burn quickly. And that's pretty much it. I mean, a little bit of trial and error. There's a new link from the people who actually first posted this on Tracker Trail, and that's in the show notes. So do check that out and see if that helps you out. The next one was actually an email from Luke, and Luke says, I currently subscribe to Make, and I think it's great that someone finally published a magazine with do-it-yourself hacks and project. The podcast also provides a much welcome alternative to the morning programming for the commute to the office. I was wondering if there's any uses for old cell phones. I was cleaning up my desk and came across an old Nokia 3650 and a Sony Ericsson T300, and wonder if there's anything good for these but electronic paperweights. Well, you know, it's interesting. I'm kind of glad you asked. The first thing is always consider recycling them, because there's tons and tons of cell phones that just sit in landfills per year. You can eBay them, of course, is the other thing. But you know what I'm doing is actually I had to go scrounge around for a Nokia 3650 because I found the Kabir virus, the Bluetooth virus, and what I want to do is I want to infect my phone, and I want to see how the Bluetooth virus actually transmits itself. I've heard from all sorts of virus vendors that do these things that, oh, it's a problem and you should get this software for phones. I actually haven't heard about anybody getting this virus in the wild, so I'm actually going to do some testing. So I would suggest you hold on to that phone for a bit, because I'm going to have a cool project. Like, maybe we can infect our phones with something interesting, like maybe it installs ebooks, or maybe it does something fun. So I'm going to try to make a program that, if it does work, if this Kabir thing does work and it's a good proof of concept, I'll have some information about, you know, maybe some projects that we can do to maybe have a good virus. I remember there was an episode of Stargate where the team gets a virus that makes them superhuman for a while. So maybe there's a fun, useful thing that we can do that's beneficial for phones, or for these old phones, that maybe they can all cooperate and do something together with their collective Bluetoothness. And of course, I'll be using this phone to try to infect my car, and that's one of the projects I'll be doing this weekend. So that's it for the show. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. I'll have some more information about Mac OS X as I put it through its paces over the weekend, and do stop by makezine.com. And of course, if you like the audio show and the blog and all that stuff, subscribe to the magazine, and the next issue is coming out soon, and it's going to be great. And I can promise you the audio shows will keep up. And that's it. Thanks, and talk to you guys later.